the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast, back with you midweek edition to get you caught up on what's going on with the Milwaukee Brewers after a massive rainstorm postponed the third and final game of their very brief road trip in Pittsburgh. They're headed home. They're going to face the St. Louis Cardinals for a four-game series beginning Thursday, followed by a couple games against the Kansas City Royals. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. I'm going to be joined shortly by Todd Rosiak, Milwaukee Brewers beat reporter for the Journal Sentinel, to get you caught up on this team, what's going on with them. They've been playing around 500 baseball for the last few weeks here, and they are no longer the number one team in the National League. That honor right now at least belongs to the Atlanta Braves. They're tied for first place in the NL Central with the Chicago Cubs, so it isn't maybe quite the heady territory they were at entering the month of June, but they're still doing all right. And of course, the big performance coming on Tuesday when Freddie Peralta came up to the team and threw another six shutout innings. A really nice performance, setting up the Brewers for a victory against the Pirates. Peralta now has had two great starts out of three. His third start was a little more laborious, but the Brewers did win that game as well. It looked like it still probably has bought him at least one more start with the big league club. That was going to be Sunday against the St. Louis Cardinals. That no longer the case with the postponement, with everybody getting pushed back. So presumably, I guess right now, he'd take one of the two games in that series with Kansas City, although the Brewers won't necessarily need him to start if they decide they just want to keep their guys on regular rest. So we're going to, of course, ask Todd Rosiak what he thinks about that, as well as many other things. After we talk to Todd, I have an interview with Jeremy Jeffress, reliever for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's been nicked a little bit lately, gave up a home run on Tuesday night, but his ERA is still below 0.8 for the year. He has had a tremendous season, an all-star worthy season, as one of the key pieces in the Milwaukee Brewers' outstanding bullpen. Talked about a number of things. His dog became a brief celebrity after an article that was posted by the Athletic a little while back. We talked about Fortnite and what makes that so popular. He's a big fan of that first person video game. We talked about what makes Milwaukee so comfortable for him. A big part of his narrative is that he has been very good in a Brewers uniform and struggled in the places where he was traded. He was traded to Kansas City, came back to Milwaukee, was traded to Texas, came back to Milwaukee, struggled in both of those places, or at least relative to his performances in Milwaukee. So talked about what makes this place so special for him. And speaking of jerseys, we talked about his jersey malfunction last week, where he came out wearing the wrong one. He wore a jersey that said Milwaukee. Everybody else was wearing a jersey that said Brewers, and it was sort of a humorous moment that we referred to as well. So that's what we're talking about at the very beginning of the interview. But first, let's chat with Todd Rosiak. And here he is now, Todd Rosiak, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Todd will be covering the Brewers on this homestand, like we said, four games against St. Louis, two against Kansas City with an off day in between. And didn't get any Brewers baseball Wednesday night, Todd. It was it was a deluge in Pittsburgh. I don't know why they took so long to call this game, but I'm curious about your thoughts on Freddie Peralta the night before. He had a huge performance again. That's two great starts and three attempts for him. Not clear now when he's going to pitch again. It was going to be Sunday against St. Louis. Then it got bumped back with this rainout. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think they're just, I mean, would you speculate that they'll keep him on that as the fifth guy and maybe bump him to one of the KC games? Or do you think he's going to be in limbo from here on out?
I don't know. I can see arguments for both cases. It's tough to predict, and with the way Craig Counsell deals with that sort of stuff with us, especially, it's on a need to know basis. So, you know, we're asking Tom is asking the question out in Pittsburgh a couple days ago, is, you know, is Freddie Peralta going to get another start beyond tonight? Well, he's got tonight. You know, that's how Craig Counsell works. So it's kind of an exercise in futility. But if you go by performance, of course, he deserves another shot. You know, why would you not throw him back out there? He pitched very well again. So, from a selfish standpoint, for the fans at home, it'd be nice to see him pitch at Miller Park, wouldn't it? So,
right.
You know, I guess if I had to guess, I would say, yeah, he'll make a start against the Royals. But this kind of stuff is just, sometimes it's like banging your head against the wall. You don't really know. So, I guess that's kind of my non-answer at this point.
Yeah. Well, right. We'll find out, I'm sure, a lot more on Thursday and Friday. The start he had was very important, given that the team had lost three in a row. And I try to look on a macro sense, and I can be convinced that this team isn't in a lull of any sort, but it does feel like they're maybe down a little bit because they're playing 500 baseball coming off a stretch where they were really red hot. I mean, they had a great first couple months of the season. How do you look at this team right now? Do you feel like this is a valley, or do you see the team playing just fine? It just happens to be that they've lost a couple close games.
I think it's the latter. You know, maybe it's Craig Counsell rubbing off on me, but I don't look at, you know, three game sections of the schedule as being definitive, or five game, you know, sections of the schedule being definitive. You look at the overall deal to this point, and they've had a good season to this point. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. You know, Houston Astros are going to go through a five game losing streak. It happens. And to me, the biggest thing is, you know, the starting pitching has been good for the opportunity it's been given. The bullpen has started to leak a little bit of oil. I don't think anybody realistically could have expected what the bullpen did the first 2 months to carry over to the rest of the season. That's just not going to happen. Those guys are pitching out of their minds. Now, they're not pitching horribly, but they're also not infallible like they were in those first 2 months. And once again, the inconsistency with the offense is starting to show its head again. And, you know, there's been more discussion about it. And, you know, Craig Counsell had a very interesting take on it from Pittsburgh, talking about, you know, we've got guys at the top of the lineup that are doing the job, but the bottom part of the lineup is just not. I mean, it's like automatic outs. And you're going to have inconsistency when the guys at the top of the lineup struggle if nobody at the bottom of the lineup is picking up the slack. So on occasion it will happen. There was a game against Philadelphia where the bottom of the lineup went crazy, but more often than not, those last four spots, it's very sparse as far as production goes from on a game-to-game basis. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do to kind of bolster that moving forward, if anything. Orlando Arcia isn't really showing any signs of snapping out of his slump. Manny Pena just has not been able to get going to this point in the season. You've got the pitcher spot, obviously, aside from Brent Suter. That's been pretty much a black hole as far as the pitchers go. Non-reliever pitchers, let's say. The bullpen is it's end of the bargain when those guys have been hitting. But so it's just kind of I think it's just the ebbs and flows of the season, and I don't think there's really any grand conclusion to be taken other than the fact that Brewers are still in a really good spot right now. You know, I'd be interested to see what fans' predictions were, and you know, if you had taken the snapshot of the first 2 months, are the Brewers where people thought they would be? Are they doing better? Are they being worse? I don't know. I mean, to me, if I'm a fan looking from the outside in, I'd be pretty happy with where the Brewers are right now.
And I think what you're describing is an answer, a pretty simple answer to the question about why this team gets shut out so much. It's that the bottom of the order has struggled. It's relying a lot on four or five guys, and when they aren't clicking, you know, for one game, they're not going to score any runs. So that seems to be a pretty simple explanation. And shutouts, in my mind, have never actually correlated with teams that whether or not teams do supremely well or not. I mean, there are teams that have made the playoffs that have been shut out a lot. One of those guys who's struggling is Domingo Santana. He hasn't been in the starting lineup now for a couple series in a row. It seems like the move won't be to put him in AAA. He does have an option remaining, but it seems like they're comfortable letting him ride this out even as a bench player. Do you believe that's going to be the case, that they're just going to ride it out and let him, you know, come off the bench for a little while? Or do you think, you know, a trip down to Colorado Springs might be in the future for him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see where that's going to benefit a guy like Santana. Conversely, I also don't think he's a guy that thrives when he's playing sporadically. Yeah, I wrote a story on the last off day coming out of the Cleveland series where, you know, talking to Craig Counsell about where does he fit in? You know, what's going on with him this year? And Counsell said at the time, I think he's still got a hot streak in him. Well, Eric Thames is back now, and they like his left-handed bat. He showed a little bit of power with the two homers on Sunday. And playing him in right field, that's a sign that, you know, Domingo's kind of on the outside looking in, and what do you do with him? You know, I don't have any doubts that they tried to shop him in the off season, didn't get many takers. You know, with the injuries that they had earlier in the season, he was getting playing time, but really did not produce. The lack of power is kind of head scratching and weird. It's certainly not like he was hitting last year with the 30 home runs. So I don't know. I mean, they're certainly not in any hurry to unload him. We've all seen what depth can do for this team. They believe that he can work out his kinks by staying with the team and, you know, hitting in the cage, working with Darnell Coles. But I don't think there's any question he's going to have to start stringing something together to get them to play him. So in the meantime, it's going to be interesting to see what happens out there in right field. Eric Thames, he was an outfielder coming up. He's not really an outfielder now, even though he does play out there. You know, Yelich has looked pretty natural out there. So Hernan Perez can play out there, and he's been hitting better, and the Brewers are trying to find spots for him to play. So it's a situation that is worthy of monitoring. Let's just say that.
Yeah, from the depth in the lineup to the depth on the pitching staff. Talked about Freddie Peralta already. Some of the guys that are sort of shuttling between AAA and the big league club. Corbin Burnes is a prospect who hasn't made it to the big league club yet, but an interesting development with him all the same was to see him working in relief at Colorado Springs. You actually talked to him after that. I mean, it does seem like they're now grooming him to have a role on the team this year, maybe later this year, possibly as a reliever. What was sort of your takeaway from that conversation?
I mean, he's a very level-headed guy from the times I've talked to him, and very cerebral. And he sees that this is a possible quicker path for him to the major leagues. Why would you not embrace it? You know, so that was pretty much his take on it, his thoughts. He went out there through two innings in his first outing, was sitting between 95, 97 with his fastball, which is probably a little bit harder than he usually throws it. Said he felt comfortable. And the plan is to pitch him, give him probably 3 days rest, pitch him again, give him another 3 days rest, and just see how he responds to the, to the routine. And if he has success, if he shows well, I would not be surprised to see the Brewers call him up at some point and throw him in the bullpen and see what he can do. Worked very well for Josh Hader last year. He was in a very similar situation. Two different pitchers, obviously. You know, Hader was essentially a two-pitch guy. As a starter, he would throw a changeup on occasion, but it was not a very good changeup, and he would tell you that. He struggled with it. You know, Burnes is a legitimate three-pitch pitcher and technically a four-pitch pitcher. He does throw a changeup. It's a pitch that he's still working on as well, but he's getting more comfortable with it, he told me, and he feels like it's kind of right around the corner for him. So, you know, Corbin Burnes is a four-pitch guy. I mean, even a three-pitch guy coming out of the bullpen with the velocity that he has and the nasty slider, he could be a really good weapon for the Brewers. And then, of course, the big takeaway in the big picture is that the plans are still to keep him as a starter coming out of this season. So 2019 and beyond, he would go back into a rotation, and I would expect him to fight for a job with the big league club next spring.
All right, let's start rolling into some quick hitters here. Fan voting has been going on for the All-Star game. Brewers are getting zero love in the fan voting process. Particularly Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich are pretty low among outfielders. I'm not shocked that there are no Brewers in the top maybe two at any position, but it's been pretty sparse. I kind of shared with you beforehand a theory I have that because Brewers fans in the past have been so good to rally around their guys that maybe there's just a hesitancy among fans. They haven't quite embraced this team and in a way that they may have embraced past teams. And you know, they've seen this before in 2014 where teams start fast and aren't able to seal the deal, maybe last year as well. What do you see? Do you think there's an ambivalence that fans have, or there's some other explanation for why the Brewers have struggled in this process?
I really don't have an answer. It's interesting. You know, maybe this might make me sound uninformed, but I don't even know. Do they even hand out those old ballots anymore?
No, like they haven't in a few years. Not in a few years. It's all digital.
Yeah, I thought so. Because I remembered when I first started covering the team, you'd always see the ballots being handed out in the boxes. I guess not everybody does it on their phones, you know, and that's smart. So I don't know. I don't really have an answer for you at this point. You know, like we were talking about off the air, you know, if you go by what the value that Lorenzo Cain brings to the Brewers, you know, absolutely he should be in the All-Star game, just what he's done to this point. But, you know, if you're a fan from New York or if you're a fan from California, you don't watch the Brewers on a regular basis. You know, you look at Lorenzo Cain's numbers, and they don't jump out at you. Of course, they're good, but he's not hitting 300. He's not into double-digit homers yet. You know, his on-base percentage is high. You have to kind of dig a little bit deeper into Lorenzo Cain, and, okay, you see that all of a sudden, you know, you look at the WAR, you look at the defensive WAR, the things that he does in that, you know, the kind of the analytics, and then it makes, you know, you've got a much better case for him being in there. So, I don't know. I mean, there's still time, obviously, not a lot of time, a few more weeks. It's amazing to think that we're already talking about the All-Star game coming up. The season has gone by pretty quickly. So, you know, at this point, the guys that you're looking at right now as possible Brewer representatives are, you know, Josh Hader, of course, Jeremy Jeffress, I would think, is still in the mix. He's still got a, you know, quite a line going for him. And then if you kind of go around the rest of the team, you know, Yelich has had a nice year, but again, not really standing out in any one area. What about Jesus Aguilar? You know, it's amazing what he's done and having not started at first base all season long, he's put up some big numbers too. Obviously there's going to be good competition at first base, but you know, that's there really isn't any other standout that you can point to on the team and be like, oh yeah, he's the no-brainer guy. Like last year we knew Knebel was going to be the guy, you know, with the way kind of the role he was going on. So I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see if fans get to the polls and start voting, because you know, you've got these teams like the Giants, the Braves, you know, this year they've really gotten out and voted. The Giants, it's like every year they had, I remember a couple years ago, they had like 8 starters, you know, at one point, you know, like guys leading the voting process. So it's, you know, it's something I think that probably needs to be revisited at some point as to how guys are determined, how they get in and so forth. But, you know, this is a roundabout way of me saying I don't really have any concrete theories as to why the Brewers are really lagging behind.
Yeah, even this doesn't really have anything to do with the fan process, but I'm thinking it could just be Josh Hader, you know, because what you said applies kind of across the board. They don't have a lot of standouts that are at their position the best or second best in the league. So it could just be Josh Hader. Maybe Jeffress sneaks in there as well, but two middle relievers from the same team is a tough sell. So, speaking of relievers, Boone Logan is no longer here since we last chatted. The Brewers electing to designate him for assignment. Felt like the Brewers did everything they could. They put him in low leverage situations, high leverage situations. They gave him time to work back from injury, and he just could not get out of an inning unscathed. Had a really tough outing Saturday. I'm guessing if he actually does the job Saturday, he might still be here. It felt like the team really wanted him to succeed, and they just ran out of time. Is that kind of how you look at it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they had a lot of money invested in him. Clearly, they wanted it to work out, but he just was not making any definitive strides toward being what they needed him to be, which was, you know, a left-hander out of the pen that they could rely on in big situations. A guy that had been in big situations, has had a long major league career, pretty long track record of success. But, you know, he was just kind of doomed from the start, it seemed like. He gets hurt when what would have been his final outing in spring training. You know, opens the season in the DL, was on the DL for quite a while, comes off, and then just never was really sharp. You know, the slider is the pitch that he relies on to get lefties out. And it just was not going well for him. And, you know, it just seemed like each time out, he was getting hit hard. First guy on base, next guy home run, or next guy extra base hit. And then he's coming out of the game. And you just can't function that way. And you can't say that the Brewers didn't give him a long leash, because he got quite a few opportunities there, like you noted, in different situations as well. And nothing seemed to work, so they cut bait. And I give them credit, you know, in years past, with the money sunk into him, you know, there probably would not have been as quick to pull the trigger, so to say, but you know, they need, every game counts, obviously, and they need production. So they moved on from him. They've got other left-handed options in the pen. So again, it'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward out there.
Sort of similar to last year when they had a mid-level free agent signing by bringing in Neftali Feliz. He didn't work out. The team moved on very quickly because they just felt like they couldn't wait for it to come around. So a similar situation this year. Always a relief if we're talking about the fringes of the roster. You know, guys, the last guy in the bullpen, like maybe a Boone Logan, or also maybe an Eric Sogard, who is one of the top one of the guys off the bench, but again, kind of one of the last players on the roster. He has really struggled, and I know we've mentioned him before. There are a couple guys in AAA, Dylan Moore and Nate Orff, who've been solid all season, and of course Brad Miller, whom the Brewers traded for. At this point, I feel like it's a situation when Brad Miller comes up, Sogard is probably going to be the odd man out. That's assuming that Brad Miller definitely is coming up. I don't know if he's definitely coming up. It sure seems that would be the case, but I don't know. Do you think the equation is as easy as that Brad Miller will come up and the team will be forced to move on from Sogard, or might they get more creative?
No, I mean, at this point, I would think that's what it's going to be. You know, Miller obviously has a major league pedigree, major league track record. He does not play shortstop, but you have Hernan Perez that you can cover that spot as a backup behind Orlando Arcia. You know, Miller's a left-handed bat. He's got some pop. He's got experience. And to me, that's just kind of the no-brainer. And Sogard, for whatever reason, just has not been able to get going. He's not been able to recapture the magic of those 6 weeks that he had last year after he got called up in Ryan Braun's absence. And it's really kind of one of those things, if you look back, and you say, all right, if Eric Sogard does not hurt his ankle in that game and then go on the DL, what kind of season does he go on to have? I mean, obviously he's not going to go on and, you know, have a 400 on base percentage and hit 350, whatever he was doing. But it would have been pretty cool, pretty interesting to see if he could have kept that up over the course of the rest of the season. As we all know, he didn't. He went on the DL. He came back and he never came close to recapturing that magic. And then Brewers re-signed him this year, $2.5 million or whatever it was, and just never got going. And he's still, you know, hitting in the low 100s. It's been ugly, and you feel bad because he's a good guy. He works hard, but just has looked overmatched this year. So I would think that it would be as easy as just kind of a flip-flop, you know, Brad Miller for Eric Sogard. And who knows? I mean, you know, maybe does Sogard go back to Colorado Springs? There's a few different ways that can happen too. But I would think that's the move. You know, everybody, including me, would like to see Nate Orff get a shot at the major league level, just based off of what he's done at AAA the last several years, and really good kid. You know, Dylan Moore is there too. He's playing well this season, but you know, it's just a numbers game. Neither one of those guys are on the 40 man. You know, they don't have major league track records really. So Miller's the guy, I would think, unless something else different happens in the meantime.
Once again, kind of like history repeating, they had Tyler Saladino this year, sort of catching lightning in a bottle. He seemed to be hot and then gets injured and doesn't get a chance to play that out. That was a much shorter time than what Sogard was last year. He just looks very different this year compared to where he was last year. He was really a tough out last year and just hasn't been able to recapture that. As we wind down to the end here, want to know maybe a little bit more about Adrian Hauser. He's another one of those pitchers who's been up and down a little bit, more on the AAA side this year than in the big leagues, but he definitely caught everyone's attention on Sunday when he came in for an outing and threw up a couple times on the mound, to the chagrin of the fan base that saw it plain as day. It was sort of explained as just he'd had a long day, and he'd kind of found out late in the game that he was getting the call, was on an airplane that morning, just a crazy, crazy set of circumstances, very hot day. Just give us a little more background on him and what you know about Adrian Hauser.
It was really just that, from what he explained to us after the game. Combination of a 5 a.m. wake-up call, you know, hustling to get to the airport, you know, hopping on a flight, getting O'Hare, driving from O'Hare to Miller Park, because anybody knows who was outside on Sunday, it was ungodly humid and hot. And, you know, there's, I'm sure, a little bit of excitement mixed in there as well, warming up. And he was not, I don't think he was hydrating well. And you put all those things together and you get what you got on Sunday as he was warming up, you know, a reversal of fortune behind the mound, pitch to a couple guys, do it again. But to his credit, he stayed in the game and he did give up a run. But, I mean, how many guys would have just waved the white flag and said, all right, I'm done. I can't do this. The guy showed some intestinal fortitude by sticking out there and doing it. And Chase Anderson said afterward, hey, you know, that's impressive to see a guy do that and stick it out and pitch through some adversity like that. So Hauser had a good, you know, he was in a good state of mind after and, you know, joked about how he got it all out on the mound, so to speak. And, you know, had a kind of a good outlook on it. So good for him. And he's a guy that the Brewers are still very high on, you know, got a very strong arm. He's battled back from Tommy John surgery. That's another guy who could factor into the rotation next year. So another promising young arm in an organization that seemingly is continuing to stockpile those. You never can have enough. And who'd have thought 5-10 years ago we'd ever be talking about the Brewers being stockpiled with talented young pitching.
Yeah, it's so funny. I didn't even think about him as a starting option because you sort of assign these guys. They've got these starters at AAA, Burns, Peralta, Woodruff, for all, you know, basically a AAA guy. I just start assigning everybody else as a reliever at the big league level, but a lot of these guys could still start as well. So yes, they have a lot of options. I'm going to be honest, Todd. I would have asked something about Ryan Braun needing another round of cryotherapy. It was announced on Wednesday that he was leaving the team to get an injection in his thumb, as he has over the past few years. I don't even know what to ask because it just happens every year. So it's not like it's unusual. I think everybody sort of expects that Ryan Braun is going to be out of X number of games every year with one of these injuries. So I don't know if there's anything unique about this situation compared to others, but I don't have a good question to ask on this one.
Well, I mean, I can just provide a little bit of, I guess, perspective. I'm sorry, I got a frog in my throat here. I go back to, I think it was 2015, I want to say, when the news first came out that he got that first shot in season. We were in St. Louis, and he was out of the lineup that morning. It was a day game. And, you know, as we always do, we were talking to Craig Counsell, and it's gotten to the point with him where he's in and out of the lineup so much, there's days where we just don't really even bother asking why Braun isn't playing. A, because we pretty much know why, and B, because Counsell sometimes gets a little perturbed answering the question. So for whatever reason, I remember right at the end of the scrum asking Counsell, you know, is Braun just getting a day off or what? And he said, oh no, he flew to LA. He's getting a shot in his thumb. And we're all like, what? So, you know, had that question not been asked, I don't even know if that ever would have come out. You know, I don't think the Brewers would have offered that information. So it's just kind of been a maintenance thing ever since. Ryan Braun is not a guy that likes talking about this kind of stuff. He keeps all the injury stuff very close to the vest. And, you know, every time we've asked him about it in the past, it's always, oh, that's fine. You know, on to the next topic. So it definitely is newsworthy that he went out and got that shot. Would, you know, shock me greatly if he was in the lineup tomorrow and they open up against the Cardinals. I would expect him back at some point during the weekend with it being a 4-game series, but we'll see. You know, maybe it had something to do with the slow start that he's off to this season. Who knows? Obviously his numbers are not Ryan Braun-like this year to this point. And we've heard nothing about his hand. It's just, it's been the back thing. It's been the calf thing earlier in the year. So I don't know. It's again, one of those things where an aging player, no matter how good they are, it's hard to stay healthy for 162 games. And for Braun, it's proving difficult to stay healthy for 120 games now. So I guess it's just kind of wait and see, but if that shot gets the thumb squared away and all of a sudden he's swinging the bat a little bit better, hey, then I guess it worked.
Todd Rosiak, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can catch all of his material at jsonline.com. He and Tom Haudricourt always have the Brewers covered and will be the case again during this 6-game homestand. Todd, we'll catch you again real soon.
Sounds good, JR.
Thanks to Todd for joining us. Next up, we have Brewers right-handed reliever Jeremy Jeffress, who has been a huge part of the Brewers' success story this season. Like I said, his ERA below 0.8. Mentioned at the outset of the podcast some of the many topics we discussed. Did not go into, he has had some legal trouble in his past, and I think that's been well documented. Didn't rehash that in this interview. Was suspended in the minor leagues and also was arrested for DUI while he was in Texas when he was a member of the Texas Rangers. Did not go into that. Did talk a little bit, though, about juvenile epilepsy, which is kind of part of that story as well. One of the medical condition that he's dealing with and what that entails. And also talked about golf a little bit. He's a big-time golfer, claims he's the best on the team. I don't dispute that necessarily. It sounds like that might be true. He talks about a couple of the other guys that he thinks are close to his league on the Brewers when it comes to the links. So give a listen to my interview with Jeremy Jeffress. My guest is Jeremy Jeffress, right-handed relief pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, having an outstanding season. And as we record this, it's on a Tuesday, and on Monday, the night before, is a little bit of a jersey malfunction, which I don't know if when that occurred to you, if you knew that by the time you were in the game. No. But just take me through that whole experience.
No, I had no clue until I got out of the game. But it's an easy mistake for us because we have so many blue jerseys in our lockers. So you know, and when the game's going on, you know, we grab one and we go. So sometimes it was just an easy mistake. Well, nobody's to blame, you know. But it was, you know. It was funny. Yeah. You know, we made sure it was, you know, it was funny.
Yeah, for sure. So the last few weeks, your dog Domino has kind of become the new Hank. I don't know if he's always dealing with his newfound celebrity, but it's been kind of interesting. There's been a few stories about your dog and a lot of your backstory actually. So what has that whole thing been like? I know Domino's, he's only been with you for a few months.
Right? Yeah. I got Domino back in November of last year, and he's just been traveling with me. You know, he keeps me at home. He keeps me, you know, just there. He's a great dog, man. All we do together is just, you know, lay around and play and sleep.
Yeah, that's great.
the fans love him. When he came out to Bark in the Park, he enjoyed himself. He definitely enjoyed himself being out here and seeing all the dogs, and it was great.
This team has so many, it seems like, personalities, and they seem to have fun as much as any team. In the bullpen especially, do you feel like you guys have an energy that maybe you haven't seen before, or is this pretty consistent with other Brewers teams you've been on?
No, it's pretty consistent. We have one motto, and it's just come out and have fun, do what you can do, you know, take care of what you do, and everything will take care of, you know, itself. So we just come out here and we have fun. We play the game right, and the bullpen, you're right, we have different personalities, but all of them get along as well.
I'm curious kind of what it's like for you in a mentality point of view when you're pitching, because you know, off the field, I think everyone knows you're such an easygoing guy, and then on the field, you seem very intense, and you seem to be very into it. I mean, do you feel like you're a different person on the mound, or it's just you're just having fun, and that's how it translates?
Yeah, on the mound, man, I'm a totally different guy, man. It's all about business. It's serious. When I'm out there, I'm there to do one thing only, which is, you know, get out. So, most definitely, I'm a different guy. But off the mound, man, I'm a teammate. Just, you know, I'm the guy to have fun and make sure everybody is having fun with me.
This team seems to be at the forefront of sort of the disappearance of the closer's role, and you're a guy who's done a lot of closing. How do you feel about that? That the save is not maybe as ironclad as it used to be, and that managers aren't going to pitchers specifically for the ninth inning anymore. How do you react to that?
I mean, you can see it's all about winning. It's not about, you know, one specific guy. I mean, if a guy's rolling, you stay with him. If this guy's done it in the past, you stay with him. But it's all about winning now, man. We don't care who gets the ball in the ninth. We don't care who gets the ball in the fifth. You know, it's all about just going out there and getting one job done, and that's getting out, putting zero on the board, and having fun doing it.
I think a part of your story everyone knows is that you've had so much success here, and maybe not the same level. I mean, I don't. 1 year in KC, I think you had pretty good numbers too. But just what is it about Milwaukee that resonates for you as home? Like, what are the what is it about this town that's so comforting to you?
The fans, number one, and then it goes from up top, from the front office all the way down to the coaching staff. Man, everybody has been you know, just humble and straightforward towards me, and you know, and it's great to give it back to them, because you know it's just comfortable here playing, where you know everybody knows you from day one, and where you can just have fun at, for sure.
A couple years ago, traded to Texas. Were you part of those? I mean, was that something that was on your radar as a possibility? What was that? You know, what was that time period like for you?
I mean, trade deadline is always nerve wracking for you know, each team. But I had no clue. I don't think nobody else had any clue either. But you know, that's just the business side of it. You never, you just you go where your name is called. So I mean, that's all I can say about that because I had no clue.
Yeah. You were diagnosed with juvenile epilepsy a few years back. Kind of curious what that sort of what that meant, what that means to you, what sort of the, I guess, the characteristics of that are, and how you've had to change, if anything, to sort of adapt to that.
That's something, yeah, I was diagnosed with it, had to, you know, dealt with it back in 2013 when I got diagnosed as juvenile epilepsy. It's something I've just accepted over the years because I can't control it. You know, all I can do is just take the medication and hopefully, you know, it wears off. But I've learned to just, you know, accept what it is and just continue to be the guy that I am. And that's all I can do. And more stress bring it on, so I'm not a stressful guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Curious about the role of golf in your life. You guys bought a driving range, so what went into that decision? And what's actually that information came from Kaylin Moyer as she's standing here observing. What went into that decision, and what role does that sport play in your life?
My dad, you know, he had a vision of playing golf, and we had land back in the day, and then we just grew it and we built it from the ground up.
Okay.
And, it started back in 2004, and we just loved to play the game. It was a fun game, and I love the game like it's baseball.
Yeah.
You know, I play it all the time. I try to get out there as much as I can, and it's a mental sport. And, you know, that's what I like to do is challenge myself mentally. And, play the game.
So, who are the best golfers on this team? Yeah. I assume you're the best.
That
but
question.
Like,
no. You shouldn't even ask that question.
I shouldn't even ask that question. So, who's 2, 3, and 4 on this team?
We have on the team. Corey Knebel can play.
Okay.
Brandon Woodruff can play a little bit. Josh Hader, Taylor Williams. Yeah, a lot of you see, I'm naming a lot of pitchers.
Yeah, a lot of pitchers. That's right.
So most of the pitching staff plays. Wade Miley can play.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can play very good. And then we have some employees that can play very good as well.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Again, a nod to Kaylin Moyer watching over my shoulder here. The Athletic had a great story about sort of how Fortnite plays a role in your life. And I'm not a gamer, but I don't know a lot about first-person games. But what is it about this game that has caught on? And I know it's big in baseball. It's big in the United States, big in the world. But what is it about this game that is catching people's, you know, interest so much?
It's just like you said, it's the first-person game, and it's something that you can challenge yourself, you know, to be, you know, something good at. It's a lot of hand-eye coordination stuff. And then, it just takes you back to childhood as a grown-up, you know, and we play it to keep our mind off of the stressful things in baseball. A lot of guys enjoy the game. And, you know, it's just a fun game. It's very big in the world, for sure.
And then, last question, just the nature of a reliever with 3 pitches, I guess that's somewhat rare. I don't know. I feel like maybe less and less as you get guys who are going multiple innings and everything like that. How uncommon do you feel that is? Do you feel that you are a rarity in that regard?
No, I mean, you see a lot of guys that do have, you know, just a couple of pitches. I mean, a lot of pitchers have multiple pitches they just only used to. So, you know, but having 3 pitches, I would say it's a rarity, yeah, because I was a starter back in the day, so I know how to throw a lot of pitches. So, you know, I have 3 main ones that I focus on to attack hitters, and that's what I use.
All right, sir. Jeremy Jeffress, reliever from Milwaukee Brewers. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, buddy.
That's all we've got today. Thanks to Todd Rosiak and Jeremy Jeffress for joining me on this edition of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. We will be coming back at you very soon. The Brewers will take another very brief visit to the road when they take on the Cincinnati Reds at the end of this current homestand, and then they're back again, and so we will be to get you caught up on what is going on with the Milwaukee Brewers. Been a fun season so far. We'll see you soon.